What does it mean to be great? There are things in this world that are used to measure greatness by the number of followers you have, whether it be on social media or in person, the amount of money that you have, your ability to be spared suffering or hardship, your clothes and other material goods. These are ways that the world determines a measure of greatness. And it's by this measure that people are talking to Jesus in our gospel today, believing that his greatness can be stopped or redefined. As we read in today's gospel, we hear the words, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And Jesus answers, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." We later hear in another gospel and in the Passion narrative when Jesus tells Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." In other words, you can't touch the power that I have. One commentator suggested that in envisioning Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, we might consider him arriving on a tractor rather than a tank. I began reflecting then on why such an analogy could be offered as a parallel to a donkey and a horse. You might recall the significance of horses during that time. They were symbols of the quite literal strength of the owner. They were incredible in battle. Their power and agility and speed were necessary for survival. They could handle both land and water. A good horse could make all the difference in overcoming the enemy. Their visual presence could strike fear in the opposition. This is how Herod would want to be known in his kingdom, and Pilate too. Thus, the suggestion of a tank. But Jesus chose a donkey. Luke's gospel describes it as a colt. Perhaps Luke meant this to indicate that the power of Jesus was yet unknown, as in the young colt's power being unknown in its adult strength and temperament. A donkey, of course, has a different indication. Donkeys are for tilling the earth in order to bring forth food. They carry heavy loads. They have enduring strength and a determined will. Their value is obvious, but not threatening. They can multiply the effectiveness of human effort. This is how Jesus wanted to be known, and thus the suggestion of a tractor. We will hear a little later, as we hear the Passion narrative, these words. Jesus says, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you," Jesus says to his disciples. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. Jesus wants us to allow humility to reorient ourselves to the authority of God. God's authority comes through the very reality of creation, and creation is God's. Jesus calls us to trust that being on the ground level is more secure and filled with potential than being in the high places. This is most certainly in contrast to what the world teaches us. This world encourages us to aspire to elevate ourselves above the mess of the masses. To illustrate this, I have a story from someone I spoke with once in life. A man whose father would not allow him to work with his hands. As he told it, his father was afraid that if his son learned how to work with his hands, that he would only do manual labor. And so, this man was denied the skills of working with his hands. He came to realize as he got older how little he actually knew how to do. He didn't know how to fix things. He was beholden to others for his life. He couldn't serve in that capacity. He could only be served. This reminds me of Jesus' truth that the greatest among you must become like the youngest, the leader like one who serves. It's this paradox. Our greatest security is in our humanity and in our relationships with other people. Thus, the great commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. People in high places like Herod and Pilate are actually weak from their ignorance and vulnerable from their lack of real community. Jesus is telling us that our greatest security is in our humanity and in our relationships with other people. He's emphasizing this by his entry into Jerusalem and throughout his final week on this earth. He has told us through his actions and his words of this truth. He has demonstrated to us time and again throughout his life that his way is the way for life. His way produces life. And he asks us to follow him. This Holy Week, we show up for his way through participating in the traditional services of the church. I want to encourage you in this. And I want to encourage you in it, not because I'm trying to promote institutional religion. I'm trying to increase your capacity to go where Jesus goes in this world by going with him through Holy Week. It's easy to be too busy in the world to show up for the suffering of Jesus. We can justify our choice to be absent. And therein is the point. We lay down all our other priorities this week so that we might witness the message of God in Jesus Christ, whether it makes sense or not, whether it's the best use of our time or not. Additionally, I'm adding a night on Wednesday night for gathering in prayer for intercessory prayer, which I'll tell you more about at the announcements. At the end of this service, at the conclusion of this service, we will read together Luke's gospel through to Jesus' crucifixion. It's a story that you've heard before. It foreshadows our rituals for this week, this Holy Week, this Passion Week, where Jesus allows himself to be carried through the will of the people. And through our observations and our rituals, both word and sacrament, we remember and rediscover that God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the whole world might be saved through him. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and also share in his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.